Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing? This is Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic Journeyman's Talk. Actually, Psychic X Journeyman's Spiritual Link. Welcome to the show. What's up? How are y'all? We're doing good on this side of the whole scenario. We're actually going to get to the readings here in a minute. So if you want to give a reading, just give us a call in here at 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. Also, we got until the 22nd. We have a special going on for private readings. If you want to take advantage of those private readings right now, a 60-minute session is only going for $33.33. A 40-minute session is only going for $22.22. And a 20-minute session is only $11.11. We also have a one-card 15-minute reading, which only goes for $9.99. We have 90-minute to two-hour sessions where you can actually do some relationship counseling, life coaching, and also still get you an angel card reading, too, in the same session. And those sessions are only going for $77.77. So get in there before the 22nd or by the 22nd. And also we have some specials going on, too. We do parties. We do group readings, too. And so group readings. I'm trying to make sure I got this right. Parties. Also, if you have a charity function, we'd be glad to do it. No charge. Give us a call at 740-500-8863. That number again is 740-500-8863. Or you can call me through Skype. My number on that is actually 740-601-9835. And you can also contact me through my website, which is actually www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And you can actually go to the show page on here on my Blog Talk Radio show page. And there's actually the link is on there. All you got to do is click on it. And it's a done deal. Okay, and like I said before, if you want to call in here and give us a reading, we got 30 minutes to do readings on. And if you don't get on the show during the week here, because we're also going to be on, what is it, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We'll be on tomorrow at 9 a.m. That'll be another 30-minute show. And then we'll also be on Thursday night at 11 for a 30-minute show. And then Friday and Saturday and Sunday, I'm not too sure. We actually have some money coming in financially coming in, so we can actually increase those things so we can start doing the two-hour shows and doing one-hour shows during the week. But if you don't get on during the week, join us for Friday and Saturday and Sunday. We're on 11 o'clock, 11 p.m. Eastern. So check us out on this whole thing. Give us a call here at 646-721-9031 and get you a couple questions answered. Let tonight be the night that you actually come and get the answers you've been seeking for so long. Guarantee we'll get somewhere with the whole situation, and we'll get some insights, okay? So let's go to the phones, and let's check out some good stuff here. I guess we got some good things going on with the people out there, so I always stress to everybody, too, that we don't rush anybody on this show. When you ask a question, we like to answer it to the fullest. So I'm just saying, with the situation, the way things are going, we want you to be, you know, we want everybody to get the quality, not quantity. I feel like sometimes when you jump into the quantity thing of trying to get everybody done at the same time, and somewhere along the line you're lacking somewhere, missing something, and we don't want to miss anything. So on that note, let's go to the callers. Oh, I think my friend actually popped in too. Says check out D. Hello, D. How are you tonight? Welcome.
Yeah, I can feel a whole heck of a lot better, but I'm here.
Okay.
And alive.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure you was going to make it or not, but it's good you did, and thank you. I appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm
so
glad
keep,
to be here. I'm feeling kind of the weather, and
yeah.
then was hoping that Tony was going to make it on tonight because he said he would, but he didn't. But hey,
yeah.
could be a whole lot worse.
Everything happens for a reason, right?
Yeah, I don't actually worry about it. I'll, you know, just one of those glitches, and there
just
is that time
days.
Difference.
It's just one of those things. Just one of those things. You know, when you sit there and look at the situation and everything going on, it's just so funny to sit there and look at the whole situation and go, okay, it didn't happen. But, you know, like we said before, everything happens for a reason. So, just like you said before, let it go. And keep an eye on that chat room for me,
would you?
Which is good for me. Yeah, keep an eye on that chat room. And if anybody's got a question or something, you know, bring it to our attention. I'm just one of those things.
The chat room.
I always tell people. Well, I'm just saying, I tell everybody, like, to forgive me on that whole thing because I just don't watch the chat room. I put a message in the chat room when we first start, and for some reason the chat room is not even acknowledging me. It's saying guest. I'm guest.
Yeah, we have.
I'm a guest today, yeah. I'm guest 14153. Anyway, let's go to our first caller. What do you say?
Good idea.
All righty. And if you want to give a call in here, we got plenty of time, guys. We can actually play over a little bit, too. We can actually stay on 15 minutes after the show is over with, and it's all recorded. Our first caller is actually area code 313. I was actually looking at it in my angel book, too. 313, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, and how are you? And say hi to D.
Hi, D.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good to
how
hear
are you.
Like
oh,
it
we're alive.
Like everybody's listening.
Hi, Donnie.
Everybody.
How are you?
I'm doing good. It seems like everybody's on the same page here. We can't even speak.
I was wondering if you could touch on past life regression for me.
Well, I'll try. Usually what we try to do on the show here is we try to give you a little sample of the whole thing by doing a past life reading. And if you want to do the past life regression, that actually takes some relaxation. It's like meditational hypnosis, that's what I call it. But we can still try to tap into it as much as we can because, I mean, for some reason I have that act of tapping into people's past lives.
Okay.
So let me hear. I just want to explain to everybody because it takes a lot of time. And if we were sitting here on a Friday show and we had 2 hours to really kick into the whole thing, I would do it. It's just that we only have 30 minutes. And usually the reason I ask people to get 90-minute to two-hour sessions is because it takes about 30 minutes to really get into a nice, relaxed state.
Okay.
And you walk away from the whole thing, getting some answers for your question, you know, getting some answers and some connections to the past. But you also walk away feeling pretty refreshed. I kind of like it. I was looking up your area code, too, here real quick. Your number in the book, I got this angel book, Dorian Virtue, the angel numbers, 101. And here it talks about 313 is lean upon the positive and loving energies of the Ascended Masters who surround you right now as they're lifting your thoughts to higher levels of happy living. I also want to throw 314 in there for you, too, where it says your success is guaranteed as you're surrounded by angels and ascended masters. All you need to do is keep your thoughts focused on your desired outcome. That would drive you nuts. So I just want to tell everybody on the chat room, I'm saying hello to everybody. It's just coming up as under guest. So just look up the thing here and says, hello, how are you? Or Halo, my favorite thing is Halo. Okay, now, I know we've talked to you before, but I can't remember. For some reason, I'm gone blank with the name. So if I could just hear your name.
Ivatar.
What is it now?
Ivatar.
Ivatar?
Yes.
And we have talked before, right?
Yes.
Okay. You want to tap on the situation, the past life thing?
Yes.
You know, sometimes I get a lot of connections with you where you almost get the impression of two lifetimes coming off the top. We got the West. All right? We got this Western thing going on, Western thing. I feel like there's a lot of connections with you with Indians, Indian background, Indian blood, and also it's kind of funny. You see two lifetimes that kind of intermix with each other, okay? And like 100, it's like a 100-year span, okay, where you will get yourself as ancient Indians, but being in the Midwest as a it keeps coming to me as cowboy, but it's more on the level as portraying something out of character, which shows me like you would be, how would you put it? You're like that one lady who was in those Western shows. What was her name? It kind of drives me crazy. I can't get a freaking name in my head. It kind of went blank.
Depends on which show you're talking about.
Oh, there used to be a lady who used to do Wild West shows, and she was very good with a gun. Annie Oakley?
Annie Oakley?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I get a kick out of
it. All I can think of is Ethel Merman. Annie, get your gun.
I remember Annie Oakley.
Yeah,
I
so I'll get that. Go to...
Yeah. So were there any children?
I get the impression it was three.
Picking my brain again, are you?
Huh?
I said to him, picking my brain again, are you? Because I thought three myself.
Uh-huh. Okay, so
yeah,
which one was it the native or was it the Annie Oakley?
Well, I don't want to get you. I was like, look at the situation. I wouldn't say you was Annie Oakley, but I would sit there and say that you're. I guess you would call it like a spinoff. There were some girls who took on the format too and said, you know something, I'm tired of living a certain way and I want to sit there and explore a lot of things with my life. And I get the impression of actually going out and doing a lot of things on your own. Does anybody know how to get into the chat room? Sorry, guys. I need to throw a question out to you. I'm just...
Yeah, there's
the chat room.
Nobody in there now but us.
No, somebody contacted me through Skype, wanted to get into the chat room. And from what I understand, all you need to do is go to the show page, and I think it says radio
right.
Chat room, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you're logged into Blog Talk, the chat room will come up. It'll open up, and that's it.
Okay.
And your name appears, and then you type in and say howdy or whatever.
I don't know. I'm sort of trying to figure it out myself because, I mean, like I said before, I'm still getting used to this switchboard, and the whole thing changed. You know, they actually have two chat rooms now. You have a bigger one that you can accommodate the whole thing, which I can't get to pull up. And then there's one called Flash Chat. It's a little smaller version. I can get that one to come up, which I'm not very familiar with it because we didn't have it last time on the other other time when we had the show.
Excuse me.
No, so what I was saying was the thing I got with you is your name was, I keep getting Janie in the Wild West. I get about 1858.
Mm-hmm.
Right before the Civil War, I get a lot of things kicking in back and forth. I also get the impression you robbed a couple of banks, too. Very active woman.
Okay.
You're very much... No, seriously. You dressed the part. You did not look like... I mean, let's put it this way. If you dress like a... You're like my daughter. If you dress like a woman, you were very prissy. You're very much into the scene. You're very much into that part. But when you were doing the cowboy thing... No one would have ever knew that you're a woman. You know, you pretty much played both parts very well, like my dad, too. In your face, like I said, like what I was saying, like my daughter. I mean, my daughter was like, I used to watch her when she used to go to the prom. Don't touch her, okay? She used to get the most prettiest dresses, makeup, the whole bit, and she's gorgeous. But when she played the part of being on the soccer field, you didn't want to get in her way. She'd knock you out on your ass. And she'd have no problem telling me about it, too, because I remember this one girl knocked her down, like, twice, and she said it real out loud. She used to come up to her and hit her. She goes, there, how you feel? Put on your ass. And she was only 15 at the time, so we were kind of shocked. and kind of taken back. But I'm just saying that's how I feel that the character was. Now, on the other aspect, it's kind of funny if you go back further. When I say ancient Indians, I'm talking the things I see, I'm seeing like the way it would come to me now, is an ancient tribe that was basically around Peru. I'm trying to say this right, Peru. They're almost like you get the impression of connections to the Inca and also the Mayas.
Inca?
Yeah, so
Inca.
Huh?
Inca, okay.
The Incas. And a lot of people don't know this, but a lot of if I'm not mistaken, the temples in Mexico, the temple of the moon, the temple of the sun, that was actually built, I'm not mistaken, built by someone before the Mayas came in to settle that. They were actually guided there through their own spiritual science to come there to settle there. But if I'm not mistaken, a lot of those things were already there. So there's a lot of tyings in like in Incas and that kind of thing. Those have these ancient races. But I also get the one I saw, and the pictures I keep seeing are the ones I've seen before. I saw this on the ancient astronauts. There's a place. Oh, geez. Kupapuka. I don't like these names, man. I'm having a hard time saying them. Kukapuko, I think it was called. This is like been called one of the most ancient cities you can get. And I wish I had some thing. I should have pulled this up, but I didn't think this was going to come up. I would have got the information.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I want to ask you a question about language, because I speak another language, and I know it's from a past life. And is it associated to that particular tribe?
Yes, it is. You know, I got to go back and look at the thing because of the ancient stones in this civilization, okay, they were stones that when you go look at this place, it's a marvelous place. The one thing it does that's really marvelous, too, is that makes you think is that the stones and the slabs of rock have been almost like they've been tossed around. And these things weigh, you know, several tons. The one thing when I saw the first episode of this thing, when I started seeing these ancient stones, these stones don't lay on top of each other like the pyramids. These stones actually interlock. They go up, over, and interlock with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they've actually, one guy described it as they have these carvings within the rocks themselves, the stone, but he said if you touch the carvings within, they can cut your finger. They're so precisely cut.
Ew.
So when you sit and look at the situation, yeah, I get a really strong connection to that,
mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things I like to get some information about it myself to get some details on the whole thing before I really get any more detailed about the whole thing, so I can make sure I'm the accuracy here. Because like I said,
I wonder if that was the reason why I feel so connected to the West Coast. Feel very connected to Colorado, Arizona area.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of the native tribes in the West and the West Coast, you know, like the that sucks. I just went blank on the whole thing. I can see the. See, that's one thing about sometimes when you see pictures and stuff, I can describe them, but I can't, you know, because it's like there's a place in there, Manitou Springs,
mm-hmm.
the Hopi Indians and that kind of stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of civilization, they have a lot part of their civilizations a lot of people don't know about, but they're all over that, go over Colorado and further down into north, near Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Peru, if you ever watch Ancient Astronauts, you'll see they have they call them ancient runways on those plateaus down there and stuff. And I have all kinds of connections within that whole thing. And I've had a lot of connections with a lot of people who feel very connected to those Indians, where you like to sit there and really work with them so they can actually go deep into their past, too, to actually pick up some information to get some more insights to these Indians and that kind of stuff. Because we've actually been tying a lot of these things into where you can take almost the tribes and like the Mayas and the Incas and also other civilizations on the other side of the planet. They used to settle around Japan.
Is that somebody burping?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I apologize for that. I was trying to be quiet. My system shot.
Well,
that's entertainment with the hay.
Okay,
then. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
No problem.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying with such, you know, like if you really took a look at some of these, like if you took a look at like me right now, what I do is I do a lot of research. I can actually go on Netflix, and they actually have those episodes from the History Channel where you can pull those things up and get those information for the alien astronauts, and they do a lot of teaching for the whole thing. But we actually did a reading with the lady who we actually tied in with. She came from Atlantis, and she was like one of the five or six people that actually motivated the Egyptians to actually stop wandering in the desert and actually settle down and to create the old kingdom, which started off the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like with you, the situation of being tied into those things, it seems like it stems to a lot of things where you are constantly being drawn to history. I was going to say histories, caverns, any kind of thing that's ancient, it seems to really pull you in if you get caught up in the whole thing.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm drawn into antique collectibles. Maybe that's one of the reasons why I like that kind of stuff. I really love...
Oh, yeah, because it's like... Mm-hmm. Sorry. Go ahead.
I really love collectibles, and I've been collecting for about 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's tied into that or not.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I get the impression that's what the whole thing's all about. So the same thing with me, of doing past life readings in the first place. History was my favorite class, favorite subject in school, no matter where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
History was the one thing I used to get into in American government. I mean, my American government skills was kind of American government and American history. We had an open book quiz, a test. And somebody stole my book before class. Do you realize I actually got a better score than he did, the guy who stole my book? he was actually pretty mad at me because he gave my book back at the end of the class. He said, and he gave me back the book, and it's kind of, he didn't know, he wasn't really familiar with it. Didn't matter if he had the book or not. And then later on when we got our scores back, he was like, "This sucks, man. I had a book and you didn't. How come you got a better score than I did?" I said, "That's what we call greatness, my friend." Anyway. But sometimes, like I always said before, you know, when you really put yourself into something you really love to do, you really, it just sticks with you, you know, you just know it very well. Same thing with this kind of work here. Like when I sit down, I remember walking into a metaphysical shop, and that was sitting in front of this lady, talking about reading tarot cards and that kind of stuff, and I do this kind of work, and if she had, you know, if it was possible, I could actually work at her store. And she was kind of looking at me going, she goes, "I hear that all the time from a lot of people." And then, I sit there and put down cards. They don't know what the hell they're doing. And I'm like, okay. I said, "I've been doing this for a very long time," that kind of stuff. So she walks in the back room, walks back up with these cards. I wish I could find these second cards because they were like they're almost like dark light, black light background, all these things. And they were cards. And when the light hit them, they were just kind of weird. But kind of, they were kind of, I would say, they're beautiful cards. But I've never seen cards do that, you know. And she put down three cards and asked me to read those cards for her. And I sit there and go, "Okay, this is what this means." And she's like, "Okay, I guess you are real." She said, "I never saw you even think about it. You just like went right into the whole thing." And she said, "That reflects my life very well." And I said, "Well, that's good, because that's how it's supposed to work." And it's kind of funny with metaphysical people sometimes. Not all of them, but there's a few out there who are very talented and who are in situations with bookstores and metaphysical shops and that kind of stuff, seem to be the most insecure people I've met in my life. And it's like, it's kind of funny. You think it'd be the other way around. And it's the same with your situation. You know, you should let your gift take you where it's going to take you and really explore those things. But I feel like I always tell people when we do past life regressions that when we pick up dates and that kind of stuff, let that guide you. Go find some history there, because it's almost like looking through a photo album. Because you start getting images of yourself, because what you're doing is you're connecting into suppressed memories. It's been said that the reason our brains are the way they are because our brains are really detailed to memory. Mm-hmm. And it's like baffling to scientists. Why would our brains be? Why would we have so much space for memory? And they're starting to get the idea that maybe it's because the idea of reincarnation and going through so many lives and learning things is the reason, because we've got those our suppressed memories within those brains. Those follow us, and it's like we connect with the body itself, and we fill in those cavities with memories, and we still have more capability of even more memories because of progression and the lifetime we go into.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that made sense.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so we're looking at a situation like this. I would sit here and say, you're tied to an ancient Indian tribe. Back in the 1800s, it seems like you were also, I just feel like there's some really strong pictures in history out there of a woman who used to, she was actually in the Civil War, and it's one of those things you got to catch. Like before I get Janie, I want to say Kenderson, something like that, Kenderson.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like a very strong connection with that. The ancient Indian tribe, now that would be a different one to do. Like I said before, a lot of my memories would be actually brought to the surface when I used to watch, like I said before, ancient astronauts, when I'm looking at things, okay? Because my biggest thing with ancient astronauts is I want to write a book so intensely about Atlantis and the influence to realize, maybe put a little different twist on it to help people realize that maybe we're not looking at alien technology. Maybe we're looking at Atlantean technology with runways in Peru and those stones they cut for those civilizations, that the Atlanteans had influence over a lot of different cultures way back. And actually that the Sphinx was actually a lion's head at one time. And Khufu came in and put his face on it. He was an arrogant guy anyway, trust me on that. And we had a show on Khufu too, as being one of the last Atlanteans who built the Great Pyramid. And there was actually, a lot of people don't know about the fourth pyramid, do you? There's pyramids all up and down the Nile. And there's another one too that when you go out there, it's not there anymore. All it is a big opening in the ground where you've seen the parts of the pyramids when they built them, they had the chambers underground.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the queen's chamber and you had the king's chamber and that kind of things. There's a great pyramid out there that actually was put on a hill, which is actually about the same height as the Great Pyramid. But what happened was back in they thought it was Egyptians coming in and basically destroyed the pyramid because they didn't like the guy who actually built it. Egyptians were good for making people disappear in history. If they were angry with you, if you ever look through hieroglyphs and that kind of things, you'll see certain pharaohs or certain people they had kind of a problem with. You will see they defaced them. And so they thought that they did the same thing here, but they found out back in the early 1800s, what happened was they actually took the stones from this pyramid to build in Cairo. So when you go to Cairo and you see buildings, I think it's Cairo. I think it was one of the great cities down there that they actually took these stones. And I guess some of these stones are in some of the buildings that are in that city. So history is all over the place down there.
Hmm.
Whatever. Okay, we got 90 seconds left in the show. I just want to thank everybody for being here. Thank you for calling us. We actually have one more person in the queue. So just say where you're at. We'll get to you. That's area code 919. You're in the queue, so just stay right there. We still got 15 minutes after the show is on air. I'd just like to take the time to thank everybody for being here. Thank you for all the people out there listening and that kind of stuff. And bear with us and have patience and get those donations coming in. Get all those donations coming in so we can actually put some money back into the show so we can get back to those three-hour shows on the weekends and do some hour shows on the weekdays because we like to be here as best as long as we can because also when we go off the air and we are recording, we actually get longer time to record, too, up to an hour. And I like to take that hour, too, believe me, to get to people's questions and stuff. And like I always say, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day and give love where love is given. And let's get back to our caller right now and say, hey, what's up with you? You know, something with the situation, what I was going to say was I got a third past life. As I was kind of going over the Egyptians, I was getting a strong connection with you. I get a connection with Egyptians, but not in the sense that you would think is being Egyptian.
Okay.
But being
what's
more along the line, we go back further. It's been said that Plato actually got his stories of Atlantis from a sage, an Egyptian sage.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm getting here is a really strong connection with you and Atlantean. And there's also been some of the things I've actually heard too, and some of the things I actually did pick up on. It was kind of funny how the Egyptians have three kingdoms. We have the Old Kingdom, the Middle Kingdom, and the New Kingdom. Now, in the beginning, in the Old Kingdom, you will actually, if you do the history, the pharaohs in the original Old Kingdom, they were tyrants, man. They were pretty intense, really intense. So when you look at the situation, it's crazy. But it makes sense because it's like Atlanteans who came to Egypt. Not all the Atlanteans who came to Egypt as motivation for the Egyptians were bad people. But if you get into a society that was very, I guess you would say, structured, then you would have, when people get away from that kind of structure that they were actually raised with, and they realize the abilities they have and the kind of power that they actually can, you know, exert, they have a tendency to use it on a weaker race. And it's basically what they do. If you look at the idea. Yeah, because what we're talking about, the Egyptians, it said that the Egyptians were wandering in the desert, and people were trying to figure out why all of a sudden did they decide to just stop and build this great pyramid and all these great, this great civilization in the middle of the desert. You know, what was the motivation and that kind of stuff? But it was also a seclusion where you have people that are like, they're not outcasts, what's the word? They came from Atlantis. And they were also, you see a civilization that's in the desert, isolated. And we've seen this before with great cults and stuff like that, where they have a tendency to isolate people as they want to dominate. They want to be seen as a god. And we actually had this on my show. We did this last year when we were doing a show called The Missing Spiritual Link. And we were talking about why were the pharaohs considered gods? I mean, you can tell people, hey, we're gods. But you'd have to do something to give them that ideal, you know, either great, you know, exhibit great power or just do things that would be extraordinary. And the Atlanteans were able to use crystals and stuff. And we actually, and they were talking about they couldn't use, they said Atlanteans couldn't have the technology because they'd have to have great crystals. Well, about a couple of years ago, they actually found these caverns. With these huge crystals the size of trees.
Really?
Yeah. So now we're getting evidence of great crystals where now it's looking more feasible. The Atlanteans could have been exactly who they were. And the idea of all the things that we have, we talk about wormholes, we talk about stargates and this kind of stuff. And you're wondering, is it imagination or is it tied into suppressed memories? And we've been watching the movie Stargate where they supposedly found the Stargate in 1914, and I said, well, what if I told you that some of the dates that you're actually seeing are pretty close to what's actually going on, but looking at 1914 is when the government actually started using a Stargate program. And people were like, what? So we started looking at all those things. I had some visions of where I saw the Stargate program. It was based on crystals. It's like the movie, but there's more crystals influenced with the whole thing and everything. And then I saw people that, you know, you've seen the ancient Indians where they have the outfits and all this kind of stuff. Well, I saw these people working with the government and establishing these stargates, okay, working with our government. And I sit there and traced it. I sit there and did the visions and stuff and started realizing what I was actually looking at was Atlanteans. And people go, okay, Atlanteans, they're gone. I said, well, I'm starting to get a lot of things where we have all these scientists who keep coming to the forefront and say, hey, you know something? I know where Atlantis is. It's in Florida. And you got another guy who says, it's near Japan. No, it's near Iceland. And then, no, we have a movie that says it wasn't Iceland. It was actually, you know, near Scotland. And all this craziness goes on. And you're like, okay, who's true? And I said, maybe we should start thinking a different way instead of looking at things as how much of influence over the globe did Atlantis have, and Atlanteans. And maybe what we're looking at is these places that we're all picking up on, they're all pieces of Atlantis. It's just not one place. Look at it, like with Rome. We have the Roman Empire. Rome was the main city of operations, but the Roman Empire was huge. And so you have many outposts and many cities that belong to the Roman Empire. But Rome was the main deal. It's the same thing with Atlantis. Atlantis, because it's also been established as Atlantis as a city, but it's also been known as Atlantis the continent. So maybe they're both true, that there was a great continent between North America and South Africa. And in the middle of the Mediterranean, we had the city of Atlantis was the main base of operations. So it spans out. I mean, if you have a great civilization, like they said that Atlantis was, which I feel like it is, still is, you wouldn't have where they would just be very influential in the Mediterranean area. If you had the capability of flying and great ships and mechanics and lasers and all kinds of good, would you just hang out in the Mediterranean? No, I go visit, but I wouldn't just hang out there. I would sit there and say, this is what this world's all about. I've heard it's flat. Curiosity has already gotten people to get into wooden ships and to find out if it was flat or not. If you had the technology to really do it on a safe way, would you just sit by and not do nothing? I don't think so. It's the idea of looking at great civilizations and go, wow, that we have five outposts out there. That's near Iceland, another one near Japan, another one near China, and like five or six of these places that still exist. And they have this thing called Stargate technology where it's like a portal that links all these cities together. You would never have to come to the surface. You would just use these little links to go back and forth to each little civilization. Because I saw some visions of Atlantis technology where they used to use force fields. They use crystals like you've seen in Charmed, where you take like five or six crystals and put them in a circle. You can create a force field. And they had capabilities of actually taking energy and harnessing energy out of, you know, the orthodox places, but they was able to do that they were self-sustaining. So they would never have to have any external thing. So you could be under the ocean, create a force field. Within that force field, you create an energy source that sustains itself. You would never have to come to the surface. And when you did come to the surface, it was party time, vacation. You know, because it's been said that, like with UFOs, are UFOs UFOs, or is it alien technology of them just getting around where they decided, hey, let's take a look and go somewhere, and now our technology is really advanced. Let's go check out a couple solar systems. Or we could use our little Stargate, because I saw they said they took some photos with the Hubble spacecraft, right? The Hubble telescope. If you look at those pictures, and you kind of, I mean, I'm just saying from a person who feels things, right? When I first saw some of those pictures, I was like, it's almost like someone is standing right there in that solar system taking those pictures instead of being in this one and shooting across the freaking universe. Because these pictures are so detailed, you know what I'm saying? So it makes you wonder. It's just one of those things that makes you go, and you just want to sit there and know more about it. And that's what I'm saying with the situation. You know, with technology, you can do anything. And people looking for a city and looking for foundations and rubble, I mean, from what I've heard and from what I've seen in the middle of the Mediterranean, Crates used to be a nice island with a volcano in it. Now it's like a little U-shape, and it was completely destroyed. And they go, why come we can't find any kind of foundations over there? If you had a great volcano under your lap and it blew up, you think you'd have your lap? I don't think so. So it makes you wonder. We do have someone in the chat, in the queue. I definitely want to get to them.
Okay.
So if you guys didn't mind, we can still sit here and talk and chat, and I'll give you some information. Let's just bring them on and let them be a part of this, okay?
So Atlantis, do you think the language is connected to Atlantis too?
I do believe so, because it's like some of the ancient language and some of the things we had. Because people, we've actually, I saw this on, like I said before, Alien Astronauts, and there was actually a situation where they've actually found, like, you know, those little bandsaws, you know, the little hand tools we have where you get the little sander, a little belt, oh, not belt sander, but a disc sander, like a little disc sander. They have found marks on stones and statues and stuff like that. They found those kind of marks on them.
So and, how would I go?
Go ahead.
Is there some way that I can verify the language with Atlantis?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. When it comes to doing past life regressions, that's what I always recommend to people, so we can go back and pick the language up itself. Because I actually have a tendency to sit around and talk in a certain language. I have no idea what kind of language it is either. I'd like to trace it back and see if it has some origin to it, too. Also, area code 919, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
This is April. I was enjoying listening.
Oh, okay. Like I said, I'm actually still trying to get used to this switchboard. And I thought there for a while, every time I saw a question mark come up the next to the name, I thought that meant they wanted to come on. And then I started talking to people going, no. So I didn't mean to interrupt you or anything. But, so you just like listening?
I don't know how this works.
All you need to do is, everybody comes on the show, I just sit there and say, hey, you know, we're having this nice discussion. Just sit there and throw it out, whatever's on your mind, whatever you're thinking. And we've been talking about a lot of things here, and you've been listening. So if you had some comments about that, you can share with us if you like. Or not.
If you have a question.
Yeah, you can ask Dee a question.
I'll just talk to you on Skype after.
Okay, no problem. We can put you back on listen mode, too, if you like.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Excuse me.
Our caller is still with us, right?
Yeah, I'm still here.
And like I said before, sometimes, like, when I used to watch alien astronauts, or I watch something on History Channel, I was sitting talking to my friend, and they started talking about alien astronauts, and they started talking about alien runways in Peru. And I said, you know, I sit there and listen to this stuff. I'm sitting there going, I don't dispute what they're saying as in some kind of origin or where it comes from, but the way it resonates with me, I sit there and look at it in a different realm, and I start focusing on it and saying, well, okay, what do I pick up with the situation? And the languages that you're talking about, it's like looking at the situation and realizing that these people talked in all kinds of ways, and some of the languages are extinct. I mean, Latin is almost, I mean, who talks Latin anymore? So I was sitting there going over the thing. Yeah, I was just saying the situation is changed. Go ahead.
I'm going to call you on Friday, okay?
No problem. We'll be here on Friday, and we'll be glad to sit down and try to do that session for you, because I think it would be great to do one of those sessions on the air, too, to give everybody an idea exactly what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. So what time are you on Friday?
Yeah, in a regression. Huh?
Yeah. What time do we show come on Friday?
Oh, Friday's
it's
11 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 11 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
Whereabouts are you? I know you told me this before, but...
Colorado.
Oh, yes.
How could you forget?
Yeah, how could you forget? You talked about it for almost 2 hours.
Okay, all right. Did I take over the show or something?
Did you take over the show? It's your show.
That's right. So I guess the answer is yes, right?
Yeah.
Bingo! Hey, he's catching on.
So I'm just saying... Oh, yeah, I was going to say to you guys, too, I actually bought my ticket for the 14th of March to go back to Colorado.
Okay.
So I got that out of the way. Yeah. So
on the Manitou Springs, huh?
Yes,
Manitou
he is.
Springs, yeah.
Yeah,
the reason,
on
I was going to take
Springs.
The plane. I was going to fly, but when I started to look at the idea of flying, to get from the airport into town, from the last time I heard, there's really a bus doesn't go out there. It goes out that direction, but it doesn't go all the way. And I said, well, when I first get there, after traveling for a day and a half, I don't think I want to walk anywhere that far just yet. So the bus station is right downtown. And actually, I can actually catch a bus from getting off the Greyhound bus. I can catch a bus right – I can go right down to the bus station. There's a bus station in midtown. Catch the bus right straight to Manitou Springs.
Oh, okay.
So it's all – Yeah, so it's a whole lot easier for me.
How come you want to take the train?
Because the train's the same situation. It's almost in the same areas. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's almost in the same areas as the airport. It's amazing how they have these major transportation things. Maybe, and you know something? I'm just saying, from all the information I have right now, it might have changed since I've been out there. I mean, the last time I was out there was in 2006.
Yeah, the train is a lovely, and it's probably the same, cost you the same amount of money.
Actually, when you went on the freaking thing, I told my mom the reason we're getting the bus ticket so far.